Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com, and we're continuing in our study of Jeremiah chapter 51. During this study, we will cover verses 9 through 11. Let's begin by reading the verses and then go into an introduction and then take each verse one at a time. Starting with verse 9, we read, "We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go, every one, into his own country. For her judgment reaches unto heaven, and is lifted up, even to the skies. The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come, and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon, to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple." In these verses of Jeremiah 51, verses 9 through 11, it is Yahweh's purpose to not only forsake Babylon, but also to destroy it. The reason why Yahweh forsakes Babylon, that is the world and all the churches, is because he would have healed them, but she is not healed. In fact, everything that Babylon, that is the world and all the churches, needed to become healed was given to them. Nevertheless, they would not allow herself to be healed. Therefore, Yahweh tells us to forsake Babylon, forsake the world and all the churches, and let us go, everyone, into his own country or land. For her judgment reaches unto heaven and is lifted up to the skies. But not only is it now Yahweh's purpose to forsake Babylon, that is the world and all the churches, but it is also to destroy them. Therefore, Yahweh commands the elect to make bright the arrows and gather the shields for battle. For he has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, that is the elect, to use these arrows and shields in battle against them. The peoples of the world, including all those still in the churches, that is Babylon, have been destroyed, because it is the vengeance of Yahweh, the vengeance of his temple. Indeed, because Babylon once spiritually destroyed Yahweh's temple, that was all the Christian churches worldwide during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. Yahweh has now, as of May 21, 2011, brought his vengeance against Babylon, against the world, including all the churches. And it is the Medes, that is the elect, who now have the mandate to proclaim this destruction of Babylon to all the churches, even to the entire world. Babylon. But right in the midst of Yahweh's wrath coming against Babylon, even ever since May 21, 2011, we, the elect, are exhorted in verse 10 to recount the redemptive word of Yahweh our God, when Yahweh brought forth our righteousness, namely Jesus Christ, as this is why we, the elect, have escaped his wrath, while all others have not during judgment day that we are now in. Now may Yahweh, through our Lord Jesus Christ, bless this study to all who partake. Amen. Let's start with verse 9 once again. It reads, "We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go, everyone, into his own country or land. For her judgment reaches unto heaven, and is lifted up even to the skies." in this verse we first read, we would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Literally, it simply reads, we healed Babylon, but she's not healed. In other words, we did everything necessary to heal Babylon. We put balm on her sores, which symbolizes our showing her by the word of God her false ways, in that she might repent. But she did not repent to be healed. No, rather, she continued in her stubborn and arrogant ways. We see this clearly with respect to Babylon being all the churches worldwide. Even though they were aware of all the things that the elect were declaring against them when leading up to May 21, 2011, they did not and would not repent and agree with the elect, but they continued to teach and propagate their false teachings and beliefs. They did not become healed, even though we gave them the medicine whereby they should have been healed. Yes, we healed Babylon, but she is not healed. We sought to heal Babylon, that is all the churches, in every way. Where she was drunk on her extra-biblical revelations and dreams, visions, voices, tongues, prophecy, and the like, we tried to sober her up with coffee and milk of the word, which declares in Revelation 22:18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. But even though we said this and made this clear, that this is why voices and visions and dreams and extra revelation apart from the Bible had ended, is because the scripture says, if anyone adds to the words of this book, if someone thinks that is getting a revelation from God, that is the word of God. And so to be getting that is adding to the word of book, but adding to the words of the prophecy of the book of Revelation. And that cannot be, because God tells us in these verses of Revelation 18 and 19, if anyone adds to these words, he will add to them the plagues written herein. But they would not listen. They loved their drunkenness. And where Babylon, the churches taught that divorce and remarriage was their right in the case of adultery, and in some cases their right for many other reasons, we said to them, through 1 Corinthians 7, verse 39, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. And we even quoted our Lord's own words to them, where he said in Luke 16:18, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whosoever marries her that is put away from her husband commits adultery. And again we told them in Mark 10, verses 11 through 12, and he, that is Jesus, said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she commits adultery. But the churches would not listen, but they instead continued their practice of divorce and remarriage for this reason or for that. Indeed, we would have healed them, but they are not healed. And when Babylon, that is the churches, made women to be teachers and pastors over the congregation, we said to them, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. 1 Timothy 2:12. Yes, we put balm on their horrible sore, but they would not be healed. And so in like manner, repeatedly, we put balm on all of Babylon's, that is the church's sores, one by one, but they would not be healed. False doctrine after false doctrine they loved, and they would not listen and repent to the word of Yahweh, so that Yahweh brought judgment against them throughout the great tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. Now, because we would have healed Babylon, that is all the churches, and they are not healed, Yahweh says to us, forsake her, and let us go everyone into his own country or land. That is, because the churches would not heed to the word of Yahweh, even though Yahweh sent his word to them repeatedly to heal her through his prophets, the elect, she would not listen nor repent. Therefore, we are first told, forsake her. No longer try to feed her truth and heal her, but let her go her own sinful way. In fact, we are not to even pray for her. As we read in Jeremiah, who prophesied against Judah and Jerusalem, which was a picture or type of all the churches, that is Babylon in our day. We read in Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 13 through 16, and now, because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, and I called you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. And we read in Jeremiah 14, verse 11, then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. Now back then it was, of course, not to pray for Judah or Jerusalem, because God had determined he was going to bring his judgment against them. But that was a figure or type of all the churches that had fallen away, had gone their own way, and so God brought his judgment against them beginning on May 21, 1988. And he tells us we're not to pray for this people for their good, because it was determined that they would be spiritually destroyed. And now from our vantage point, we do see that they were spiritually destroyed. And Yahweh even says that he will not even hear Judah and Jerusalem's, that is the church's, prayers in their time of trouble. We read, therefore pray not for this people, neither lift up a cry for prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. Jeremiah 11:14. So Yahweh has now forsaken all the churches, which have now become Babylon, ever since Satan took them over in 1988, so that there is nothing that will change his mind for good to the churches. No, their destiny is set in stone, and that is the destiny of eternal destruction. They will never be healed again, but they now have no possibility of being eternally saved ever since May 21, 2011, and they will soon perish on the last day of judgment day that we are now in. Next, our verse continues, and it says, and let us go, everyone, into his own country. Literally, it reads, and we go, each one to his land or country. and we go, each one, to his land or country. We read this similar language of Judgment Day in Isaiah 13:14, which states, "And it shall be as a chaste roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people, and flee every one into his own land." And again, we read about Judgment Day in Jeremiah 50. "Cut off the sower," in verse 16. "Cut off the sower from Babylon, and him that handles the sickle in the time of harvest." And when we did that study, we found that that meant that Christ was cut off. To cut off Christ, there is no more salvation. He is both the sower and he's the one who handles the sickle. But we're to cut. He's cut off during Judgment Day, and so that there is no salvation. "For fear of the oppressing sword, they shall turn everyone to his people, and they shall flee everyone to his land." This going, everyone to his people and to his land, is a description of what is happening in Judgment Day ever since May 21, 2011. And to escape the wrath of Yahweh, the elect have gone into their own spiritual land that is in Jesus Christ, while the unsaved people have gone to their own land that is in this world of sin. So the elect fled away from sin, but the unsaved have gone deeper into sin. And whereas the unsaved have gone to other unsaved people, the elect have gone to other saved people. So there has been a greater separation or division between the two. The elect have turned to their saved people and land for security and fellowship, but the unsaved had turned to other unsaved people and land for their security and fellowship. And whereas the unsaved have gone into their own land of this world to relish in the things of this world, such as the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, 1 John 2:16, the elect have gone into their own land in Jesus Christ to relish in the things of Yahweh and heaven, including the Word of God. Yes, each has gone into his own land to escape the wrath of Yahweh. But of course, we do know from our vantage point that they have no security in this world. They have no salvation in this world. Only the elect have that, and that's found only in Jesus Christ. Now we are told to forsake Babylon, that is all the churches and this world, and to go everyone into his own land, for her judgment reaches unto heaven and is lifted up even to the skies. Here, the word translated as reaches in the sentence, "for her judgment reaches unto heaven," can be translated as extends into heaven. And the phrase "unto heaven" is more literally translated "to the heavens," plural. So the first part of our verse reads, "For her judgment extends to the heavens," plural. That is, Babylon's judgment extends not only to the heaven of the atmosphere here on this earth, but also to the heaven of the stratosphere, and even into the heaven of outer space. Indeed, her judgment is all pervasive. So let us go or flee everyone unto his own land. For the unsaved people of the world, they can only flee to their land, this world, Babylon, which means that they cannot escape the wrath of Yahweh that has come upon Babylon. But they don't know that. And the elect, they can flee into Christ, namely Yahweh himself, which is the only place where one can be protected from Babylon's judgment, because this judgment extends everywhere, even unto Yahweh's very own dwelling place, the heavens. But not only is Babylon's judgment everywhere to be found, but we are told it is lifted up even to the skies. Here the word even is not even in the Hebrew text, and the word translated as skies may be better translated as clouds. So this latter sentence in our verse reads, her judgment is lifted up to the clouds. Her judgment is lifted up to the clouds. When something is unto the clouds, it means that that something is everywhere. For instance, when we read in Psalm 36:5, Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and Thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. The sentence, Thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds, means that Yahweh's faithfulness reaches everywhere. And when we read in Psalm 57:10, For Thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and Thy truth unto the clouds, the sentence, Thy truth unto the clouds, means that Yahweh's truth is everywhere. Likewise, when we read in our verse that Babylon's judgment is lifted up unto the clouds, it means that her judgment is lifted up everywhere, that her judgment is all pervasive, which means that it is everywhere. So returning to our verse, we are reminded that it reads, once again, For her judgment extends to the heavens and is lifted up to the skies or clouds. Here we can now say that both her judgment extends to the heavens and that it is lifted up to the clouds or skies basically means the same thing, namely that her judgment is everywhere. It is all pervasive. And the reason that Yahweh mentions it twice must be for emphasis, to emphasize that the judgment against Babylon has come upon her everywhere. There is no place to hide or escape from her judgment. Let's move on to our next verse. Excuse me. This is verse 10 of Jeremiah 51. Verse 10. We read, The Lord has brought forth our righteousness. Come, and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Here, right in the midst of having just declared the judgment of Babylon to be everywhere, we read, The Lord has brought forth our righteousness. And that is, boy, that is a great thing. The word translated as the Lord is the word Yahweh. Therefore, our verse reads, Yahweh has brought forth our righteousness. And what is our righteousness? Boy, it is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because he was perfectly righteous in suffering death upon a cross for us. Our sins have been paid for. And his righteousness has been accounted to us through the faith of Christ, which was imparted to us. As we read in Romans 3:21 through 22, But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. So, we read here that Yahweh has brought forth our righteousness. It means that Yahweh has brought forth Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin, who suffered and was crucified by wicked men, and by his perfect obedience to the law, he took our sins upon himself, being punished for our sins, that through his death for our sins, we would never need to be punished by death, but would have his righteousness, that is, his perfect obedience, imputed to us. Imputed to us that we would never die, but have eternal life based upon his righteousness alone, and not at all upon our own righteousness. Well, our verse continues, "Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God." Once again, the word here translated as the Lord is the word Yahweh. Therefore, our verse reads, "Come and let us declare in Zion the work of Yahweh our God." And this work of Yahweh our God is what we read previously, namely that Yahweh has brought forth our righteousness. So right in the midst of Judgment Day, wherein judgment is everywhere, we the elect are being exhorted to declare the redemptive work that Yahweh has done for us, that Yahweh brought forth Christ into the world to be a sacrifice for our sins, and this is why we are not now under the judgment of Yahweh like everyone else. Notice that we are to declare this redemptive work of Christ in Zion. We are not being told to declare the redemptive work of Christ in the world that others might yet be saved during Judgment Day, but we are to declare it in Zion. That is, we are to declare the work of Yahweh our God amid the people who are already saved in the spiritual Zion, which consists of all the elect who were saved by May 21, 2011. It is a reminder to the elect why it is that they too are not now under the wrath of God, as is the entire world. It is because Yahweh humbled himself to become a man, to then suffer the pains of death while nailed to a cross. That is, he took the punishment that we so deserve upon himself because of our sins, so that we could now never be judged to eternal death. That is, he paved the way for our redemption unto eternal life, so that we would never die, but be born again to an eternal hope in the glory and presence of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Well, let's move on to verse 11, the last verse that we will cover in this study. Verse 11 of Jeremiah chapter 51. "Make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon, to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple." In this verse, we first read, "Make bright the arrows, make bright the arrows." Literally, it reads, "Polish." Or we could say, "Purify the arrows." Since we have learned in other studies that the arrows symbolize the words that are shot out from the tongue, which tongue is symbolized by the bow, and you can click on the several links there to see where we had learned that in the past. When our verse says polish or purify the arrows, it means to get ready the words to be spoken against Babylon, and as we are doing so, to polish or purify these words by finding the best words to most clearly express Yahweh's wrath against Babylon. This is what we did, for instance, when we developed our little tract that was entitled "Babylon Has Been Judged." But we can still seek to make the words better and more precise than ever, so that these arrows, that is the words, shot out from our tongues, the bows, penetrate to their souls and do the job for which they were created, namely to declare judgment against the world, including all the churches, that is Babylon, ever since May 21, 2011, when any possibility for eternal salvation was removed from off the face of the earth, meaning that anyone not spiritually saved by May 21, 2011 is now guaranteed to remain spiritually dead in Adam and is certain to perish forever on the soon-to-come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Now, not only are we told to purify or polish the arrows, but we are told to gather the shields. Literally, it reads, consecrate the shields. Consecrate the shields. And since to consecrate something means to set it apart for service unto the Lord, we are being told to set apart the shields for service unto Yahweh. But what do the shields symbolize? We find the answer to this question in Ephesians 6, verse 16, where we read, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Notice that the shield is called the shield of faith. In other words, the shield is our faith. So when we are told in our verse to consecrate, that is, set up the shields for service unto Yahweh, we are simply being told to set apart our individual faith in Jesus Christ and His Word for service to Yahweh. Yes, we are to polish or purify the words, that is, the arrows, to be spoken against Babylon in judgment, and we are to consecrate or set apart our faith to serve the Lord in bringing judgment against Babylon. Yes, we're to set ourselves apart to bring judgment against Babylon. We are not to sit back and just relish in the words of Yahweh, but we are to set ourselves apart to bring the message of Yahweh's wrath to all the churches and do it in service to the Lord. Which brings up the question, are you doing anything to help get out the message of no more eternal salvation? Here in our verse, you are being commanded to polish or purify your words, that's your arrows, to set apart your faith, that's your shield, for service to the Lord in getting out the message of judgment. And believe me, one has to set themselves apart by the power of God to serve the Lord in getting out the message of judgment. Are you doing this? Or have you fallen prey to all those out there who say we are to do nothing? I pray that we are all doing the will of Yahweh, which is to get out the message of judgment upon all the churches and upon the entire world, as we have learned not only in Jeremiah 51, but also in Jeremiah 50, and you can click on it to review, and even in Isaiah 13, which you can click on to review. Well, next, continuing in our verse, we read, the Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes. The word translated as Lord, of course, is the word Yahweh once again. And as I've said in other studies, even though we cannot be certain that the vowels in the word Yahweh are correct, because the ancient Hebrew manuscripts only revealed consonants and not vowels, most scholars think that Yahweh is likely the most accurate pronunciation. Therefore, we will continue to use the word Yahweh as the personal name of God, and our verse will be translated like this. Yahweh has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes. Now, we learned in previous studies that the Medes typify the elect who have come up against Babylon, that is, against this world, including all the churches, with the message of judgment ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. And you can review that by clicking on the link and going to Isaiah 13:17. I'm not going to cover that again, but the Medes, we learned, symbolize the elect. So our verse is saying that Yahweh has raised up the spirit of the kings of the elect. And since the elect are all kings in Jesus Christ, and their one spirit is the Holy Spirit, we are being told that Yahweh has raised up the Holy Spirit of the elect, who are all kings. And He has raised His spirit up, of course, to do battle through the elect against Babylon, to do battle against the world. and all the churches. Then, in our verse, we read, "For his device is against Babylon to destroy it." That is his, that is Yahweh's purpose. Purpose is probably a better translation than the word device. "For his purpose is against Babylon to destroy it." So the reason for Yahweh having raised up the spirit of the Medes is to destroy this world, including all the churches. And he uses the arrows, that is the words, and the shields, that is the faith of the elect, to accomplish his purpose, which is to first spiritually destroy Babylon, and then finally to physically destroy Babylon on the last day. This is why we first read in our verse that we, the elect, are to polish the arrows, that is, make ready the words, and consecrate the shields, that is, set apart our faith for the service of the Lord in declaring judgment against Babylon, in that none of them can any longer be eternally saved, which means they are soon to eternally perish on the last day of judgment day that we are now in, when those who are in the graves and unsaved and those who still remain and are unsaved will be brought forth together to eternal damnation, which is to perish forever through annihilation. Now, the reason that Yahweh's purpose is against Babylon to destroy it is, we read, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. Here, the word Lord, once again, is the word Yahweh, so that our verse reads, because it is the vengeance of Yahweh, the vengeance of his temple. Notice that in this verse, the vengeance of Yahweh is further explained to be the vengeance of his temple. And it is the vengeance of his temple because in the historical account of Babylon conquering Jerusalem in 587 BC, the temple was then destroyed, and the Israelites were taken captive into Babylon. But then in 539 BC, Yahweh used the Medes and the Persians to conquer Babylon, and they freed the Israelites to return to their homeland to rebuild the temple. It was the vengeance of Yahweh, the vengeance of his temple. Indeed, Yahweh used the Babylonians to destroy his own people and their temple in 587 BC, but then he brought his vengeance against the Babylonians in 539 BC for having destroyed his temple by using the Medes and the Persians to conquer and destroy the Babylonians. It was the vengeance of his temple. Likewise, what I just mentioned, having been a type or picture of what would come in the future spiritually, in 1994, Yahweh used the Babylonians, that is Satan, who is the abomination of desolation, his demons and false Christians, to spiritually destroy the spiritual temple of God, namely all the Christian churches worldwide. But then on May 21, 2011, he brought his vengeance against these Babylonians for having destroyed his temple, by having deposed Satan and his demons from any longer ruling over the churches and the world, and by having taken away any possibility of the Babylonians, that is the false Christians who remained in the churches, and all the peoples of the world ever being eternally saved. Furthermore, Yahweh has been using the elect, typified by the Medes, to declare his judgment to Babylon, that is to all the peoples of the world, including all those who are still in the churches. It is the vengeance of Yahweh, the vengeance of his temple. It is exactly as our verse declares. So in summary, Yahweh is now out to destroy Babylon, and Babylon is symbolic of the peoples of the world, including all the false Christians that now fill all the churches. By using the elect, the Medes, to declare the end to to eternal salvation on May 21, 2011. Yahweh is doing all this because it is the vengeance of Yahweh, the vengeance of His temple. Indeed, because Satan and the unsaved peoples of the world were instrumental in spiritually destroying the temple of God, that is all the Christian churches worldwide, Yahweh has now brought His vengeance, which has deposed Satan and has removed any possibility of eternal salvation from the kingdom of Babylon, namely from all the peoples of the world, including all the false Christians that now fill all the churches. Well, let's conclude our study with this. In this study, we first found that we, the elect, are to forsake Babylon. That is the world, including all the churches. Why are we to do that? Because Yahweh, through us, would have healed them as we showed them through the word of Yahweh where they needed to repent. But they would not listen. They would not be healed. Therefore, we are to forsake Babylon, the world, and all the churches, as Yahweh's wrath has come upon her ever since May 21, 2011. Furthermore, in the light of Yahweh's judgment having come upon Babylon, having come against Babylon, that is against the world, including all the churches, ever since May 21, 2011, we go, each one, to his own land. We go, each one, to his own land. For Babylon's judgment reaches unto heaven and is lifted up even to the skies. Which means that all the unsaved people flee to their land, and all the elect flee to their land. The land of the unsaved is this world where they find their security and fellowship with other like-minded but unsaved people. Whereas the land of the elect is heaven and found in Jesus Christ, where they find their security and fellowship with other like-minded and saved people. And each goes or flees to his own land because Babylon's judgment reaches unto heaven. It is lifted up to the skies or clouds. That is, her judgment is found everywhere. It is all pervasive. So let everyone flee to his own land where they find the most security, given that Yahweh's wrath has come upon the entire world. Then, right in the midst of Yahweh's wrath, having come upon the entire world and being everywhere, we are told that Yahweh has brought forth our righteousness, which reminds us that Yahweh brought forth Jesus Christ to the earth. And He obeyed the Father perfectly so that our sins were paid for on the cross, so that we, the elect, would never have to come under Yahweh's wrath. Further, we are told to come and let us declare in Zion the work of Yahweh our God. Which means that we, the elect, are to declare amongst one another the redemptive work of Christ during this time of judgment. And we should rejoice in it and be glad, for unless Christ had redeemed us, we too would now be under the wrath of Yahweh like everyone else. Finally, we found that it is Yahweh's purpose to not only forsake, but to destroy Babylon. Destroy the world and all the churches. So Yahweh declares, make bright the arrows, gather the shields, which we found means for the elect to perfect their words to be spoken against Babylon, and to consecrate the shields means for the elect to set apart their faith to serve Yahweh in bringing judgment against Babylon. When Yahweh says that He has raised up the spirit of the king of the Medes, it means that He has raised up the Holy Spirit of the elect to work through the elect to shoot out the arrows, that is the words of judgment against the world and all the churches, that is Babylon, namely that none of them can any longer be eternally saved, and they are all soon to be annihilated on the last day of judgment day that we are now in. The reason that Yahweh is out to destroy the entire world of people and all the people now in the churches, namely Babylon, is because it is the vengeance of Yahweh, the vengeance of his temple. Indeed, because Yahweh, the world, including those in all the churches, have destroyed the Lord's temple. That is, they spiritually destroyed all the Christian churches worldwide during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. Yahweh is now, ever since then, out to destroy them by first having removed eternal salvation from their midst, and then, on the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in, to annihilate them for all eternity. Now, until the next time, may Yahweh, through our Lord Jesus Christ, bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.